When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast is now on YouTube. Go on YouTube and search Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast and click that subscribe button to never miss an episode. Welcome back, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast. I am one of your hosts, Wrestling Chris G, and on the other line with me is none other than the rival himself. It's good old Dougie Fresh. Dougie, my man, how you doing?
Boo.
Boo?
Boo.
How is that boo?
That's a horrible nickname. You could have done so much with this week.
Well, Gary's in this week's episode, and he's very prominent in this episode.
Yeah, but that's, you could have played off the title. You could have said he's my rootin' tootin' co-host. But no, you just
Well, that's the difference between me and you. But also joining us this week, and she is making her second appearance on this podcast, it's good old Mel. Mel, welcome back to our podcast. How are you?
Oh, I'm living the dream with all these audio issues, but it's been good. It's been good.
The podcasting world, right?
The virtual podcasting world, more like it.
For real. So, something we can actually talk about a little bit more now is, before we get into like anything of like Pokemon related, Mel, you actually have a new podcast, and it's actually out now, and you can speak about it a little bit more clearly
now, because now we actually kind of know what we're doing. the podcast that myself and a couple other friends and I are running, it's called Meta Dungeon, the MD for your DM. And what it is that friends and I shoot the shit about the nerdiest game of all, Dungeons and Dragons. And we literally go over like how to play the game, all the like nitty gritty details that you don't really get to learn or hear through reading books. We kind of just read the book for you and, you know, talk you through it, on how to be a player, how to be a DM. We have like holiday specials and such. We actually just put a gibosh on a recording we just did last week for Halloween, and it's the top 13 scariest monsters of D&D. So that was actually a lot of fun, and it scared my co-host and I so badly. There's actually on that podcast, she and I are kind of like having almost like a psychological torture session where we're sitting there and we're like, we were talking about ghosts before we were on the podcast here. But she and I were literally just kind of getting a little spooked, and we were looking around being like, okay, maybe we should stop talking about this right now. So we do that, and we have a Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. She's not here to scream at me and say, what are our social media handles? She's in the other room actually right now, decorating my house, so I can hear her in my brain just being like, come on, what are they?
Your Instagram is actually at Meta Dungeon Masters.
That's it. Okay, so at Meta Dungeon Masters, Facebook is at Meta Dungeon, and the other one is at Meta Dungeon as well. And yes. I'm listening to see if she says anything to the wall. To just be like, you're wrong, bitch. Yeah. come look us up. Just type in Meta Dungeon anywhere and you will find us.
Oh, it's better than our handles because we had to go a different route. Our handle on Twitter is at PokeBreakdown. Our Instagram is at every Pokemon episode. And we don't have a Facebook. So, yeah.
And we do have a Patreon, too. It's that's also just Meta Dungeon Masters as well.
Oh, you guys are a friend of Patreon. So, yes.
Yes.
Welcome to the Patreon.
And if you join, thank you. And if you guys join our Patreon, you'll get access to all of our episodes because we put our episodes out every Monday, every other Monday. So you'll get them the Friday before. And at higher levels, we actually are planning on creating some quick little campaigns for people to like play and run. So, yeah.
Perfect.
Come hang out.
Perfect. And I guess I guess right now is no better time than ever, but to kind of plug, we're recording this episode October 5th, but obviously you're hearing this in the future, everybody, as the long gag is on this podcast. But 4 days ago, we opened up two new tiers on our Patreon, one of which, both of them are $15 a piece, and I can't guarantee that these are still available, people, but as of this recording, they are. But we have one that is a guest spot, which has three slots, and one of them's already been taken up, so there's two slots available as of this recording, as of right now. If you want to be a guest on this podcast, go ahead and subscribe to that tier, and then the other one is you get a free Pokemon pack delivered to you in the mail, and that's also at the $15 mark, and you also get a nice personalized message from good old Wrestling Chris G and Dougie Fresh. So, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yes. So, like I said, everybody, I can't guarantee that any of these slots are available anymore. But as of right now, as of 5 days in, yes, we still have room available for you. So go and subscribe.
When is this going out?
I couldn't tell you when this is going out.
Told me like November.
I think it is November. this is episode 67, and right now on the free feed, let's see when this is going out. I can give you bum bum bum. Oh, so this might be December. What did I say? 67. So 5 weeks from October 22nd. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, the end of November. Yes. November 26th is when this is going out.
So, right on Thanksgiving.
Yes. Black Friday. This is your Black Friday episode. And that's only if I think this might get pushed to the first week of December, because I think me and Doug are doing a movie episode that is coming up fairly soon. So all of our episodes are getting pushed back 1 week.
Okay. That's right. Yeah.
Yes. So I forgot all about that. But yes. So yeah, you are the first episode of December, Mel. Merry Christmas.
I don't know why I sounded like Mickey Mouse just now.
Well, you know, Disney owns everything. They probably own Christmas by this point anyway.
Get out of my office, bitch!
Apparently. Speaking of Disney, and obviously we're all friends and we lollygag on this show, but they just got rid of their oldest show that they had, like they would put like projector on the castle and everything. Apparently now it's a big interaction show where not only is it going to be interacting on the castle, but it's also going to be interacting on the walkway.
You know what? I think I heard about that too.
So and don't quote me, everybody, but I can expect ticket prices going up for something like that. So
well, they're already going to go up because of the Genie Pass.
They got a Genie Pass now? What?
Oh, yeah. You didn't hear about this? Okay, yeah. So Fun tangent. Basically, what they're doing is they're getting rid of the fast passes, the old fast passes.
Get
and out. Now you have, yeah, so now they have what's called a genie park pass. So there's a couple levels of it. There's the free one. The free one allows you to, I think, I'll look this up real quick. Okay, so I think the free one allows you to get on some rides, but if you want to get on all the good rides, you have to pay like an extra $25 a ride.
Wait, whoa, whoa, yes. Whoa, 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 whoa. Wait, wait, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Let me make sure I heard that right.
Probably didn't with all the issues.
No, you came through perfectly clear. It's so I now, when I'm going to Disney World, I have to pay to get on specific rides at Disney World.
If you want to get on Fast Pass.
Oh, Fast Pass. Okay.
No. Oh, certain rides you have to, if you want to skip the line and go to the fast lane, you have to pay $25 per ride.
Jesus.
So I think it's still not worth it.
No. No. I will get on the rides the way that I need to. And
Crazy. So there's the complimentary service, and it helps you kind of like keep track of like wait times, you know, planning and everything like that. But then if you want to pay for it, that's when you get the Lightning Lane, which is their fast pass. And that's $25 a ride.
Jeez.
And it's not for every ride. It's only for certain ones.
Get out of here. So, yeah. I mean, they're just like freaking Six Flags now. Like you have to, they have a fast pass and then they have like an ultimate fast pass. I'm paraphrasing.
They have a gold, a platinum, and a silver.
Yes, and oh my goodness. Like they're just making lines worse for people that just want. What happened to just going to a park and just standing in a line just to get on a ride and not having people cut in front of you? Like, I mean, I get it, but I mean, even if I was a millionaire, I don't think I'm going to sit there and pay up the woohoo just to get on a couple rides. These theme parks are making it so hard for people. Jesus.
I think what a lot of it is too, is they're trying to, even though I don't feel like they need to, they did lose a bit of money.
Well, Disney has no leg to stand on when it talks to that. Everybody and their mother has a Disney Plus subscription, and everybody's just piling money in.
No, I know that, but I'm thinking it's just another money scam to be like, we were suffering too.
Oh, shenanigans.
Yeah, for real. I mean, okay, your parks were closed and that's a big income, but you still got movies. You still got Disney Plus. You still got parks in all. Well, I can't really say because certain parks around the world are still closed.
But here's the other thing about it, though, is that the Disney should have a good chunk of change in a vault somewhere. Just on the side.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. I'm sure they have the big Mickey Mouse funds that they can just dip into regardless of anything. I mean, they bought everything.
Yeah, they own Fox. They own Marvel. I think they kind of own Sony. It's a weird.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, that's another half an hour discussion. I mean.
Oh, shit. Yeah, we should probably move on.
Oh no! We get into tangents on these podcasts, and people enjoy it. At least I hope they do. If not, they're fast forwarding right now. But
ah, to hell with them.
This is important things. You might be going to Disney World.
I know. Unless you're Doug, and then you listen to us on 2x speed.
Yeah, I mean, you got to.
So, all right.
You're going to hate me now because I started watching TV on 1.5, you know, so.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
I'm flying and my feet ain't left the ground.
Oh, Jesus, Doug.
It came with the latest Apple update. You can mess with your playback speed. And I'm like, I'm going to mess with this.
Oh, I bet you are. And you can still listen. It's not taking away the audio or anything, or as if it's fast forwarding.
I did a good chunk at 2x, and 2x was kind of pushing it, so I dialed it back to 1.5.
Of course you did. And now you're not going to be able to watch TV the same. You just
probably not.
You just fucked yourself, Doug.
Well, you know, live sports is one thing, but yeah, if I'm playing catch up on some of my shows, yeah. So. Listen, who are you to tell me how to watch television?
I'm not.
That's listen the here, thing. Buddy. This man got a ghost in my house.
For real. That's a whole nother podcast. That's every Pokemon podcast ever after dark.
Nope. Also sounds a little dirty. Hey, kids, you want to talk about some Pokemon? You want to come over here and trade some cards?
My Ekans can do tricks.
Oh, boy. Oh, God.
My Ekans will attack your cloister.
We gotta back out of here.
Doug's like, reel it back right now. All right, everybody. So this week's episode.
You know, this is your fault, you know. You opened that door last week. You know that, right?
I did. I really did. Hopefully everybody got to hear your ramble on the on what you talked about on the black and white. Oh, I didn't even tell you, Mel. We added a second podcast. I mean, I'm not going to go too much into it because our listeners already kind of know, but we're on every Tuesday. We're reviewing an episode of Pokemon Black and White. It's one of the more recent episodes. So, and me and Doug have not seen those episodes, so we're actually going into that with fresh eyes.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yes. But all right, everybody. But today's episode is episode 67. Can you believe it? But today's episode is called Showdown at the Poke Corral. And translated from Japanese, it's called Rival Showdown Okido Laboratory.
Oh, boy.
This episode premiered in Japan October 8th, 1998, and here in the States September 30th, 1999. And Doug, my day in history this week is on 1960. Are you going first this week or am I?
Yes, I am going first.
Of course you are. Everybody, it's the drinking game. But so Doug, what is your date?
So on this date in 1927,
Jesus.
Sorry. And this is apropos because they're currently losing their AL wildcard game 3-0 to Boston. New York Yankees slugger Babe Ruth cracks his record-breaking 60th home run of the year.
Oh, okay. So I see why you did go with this one. Okay, continue.
And so he would end the year at pardon me. He would end the year at 60, and his record would stand for 34 years until it was broken by one single home run by Roger Maris when he hit 61, and then you fast forward all the way to the hectic year of 99 when Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire and Ken Griffey Jr. to a lesser extent were just hitting balls all over the ballparks in America. And as it currently stands, the single season record is still on Barry Bonds, and that asterisk is still big old right there at the back of his name. He's at 73, but everybody and their mother doesn't acknowledge that because a human head shouldn't balloon that big.
But wait, so you're telling me no one's beat the 73 in one season yet?
No.
That's because steroids aren't a thing anymore, kids.
I think the closest you've gotten, a couple people have cracked 50 in recent years, and I think with professional sports being more conscious of like load time and player health, I think, you know, you're not going to see guys trotting out there swinging for the fences over the course of a 162-game season. Although those numbers might jump up next year if the National League adopts the DH to go along with the American League and you're not having pitchers hit and you're bringing in guys with a specific task of swinging the bat three or four times a game. So they might jump up a little bit. But 73,
that's pretty high.
That's pretty tough in the modern game.
I would expect that. Holy shit. So mine, were you done, Doug?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So mine happened in 1960, and this was the television premiere of the first animated sitcom created by Hanna-Barbera. The Flintstones premiered on this day.
I love the Flintstones.
I know, and everybody knows the Flintstones. Everybody knows the song Flintstones. Na, 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 na. So
you're a modern something family.
Yes, as we butcher the song, but yes, on this day, it was the first animated sitcom created by the Bambera.
Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, Hanna-Barbera, which are, I believe they're two brothers. I believe their names were, what?
Nope.
No, they're not. It's Joseph Barbera and William Hanna. So it was just both of their, it was both of their last names. And this premiered on ABC in the U.S. on this day. So, and the show still gets run. If you have Boomerang on your cable provider, you will catch this like 10 times a day. So,
and kind of to go off of that, Chris, they were actually in the process of potentially being sued by Jackie Gleason from the original Honeymooners from the 1950s because Flintstones is very kind of loosely inspired by the original Honeymooners, and Jackie Gleason was threatened to sue Hanna-Barbera, thinking that he had a case because he saw them as stealing his character, but his lawyers actually talked him out of it because they said, do you really want to take a beloved TV show and take the heat from that?
Oh, I had no idea that. Holy shit. Okay.
You want to know why I know that? Is because, strangely enough, today I read an article about Hanna-Barbera cartoons. without even, like, I read it this morning at 7 a.m. while I was getting ready to crawl out of bed to go to work.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So, well,
look at that. Weird facts you learn on a daily basis. I couldn't tell you. I've been posting on my personal social media on a daily basis weird facts, and it's funny because they're like Skeletor weird facts, and I've been posting them on a daily to the point where people are waiting for me to post these. And with Facebook going down yesterday for everybody, I was like, well,
the world ended.
Yeah, apparently the world ended because everyone and their mother went crazy. I was just like, and I looked right over at my wife and I was like, you know, we could actually talk today.
And she looked over and said, who are you?
Yeah. So yes, that was my date for today's episode. And if you guys are both ready, we can start and jump on into this week's episode, Showdown at the Pokey Corral, which was, it was an episode, everybody. But I think I enjoyed it more than Doug did.
I enjoyed it myself.
Yes. So, all right. You guys ready?
Yep, we're tuned in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I will start this off. And we start this week's episode with a big crowd cheering, and we see good old Ash Ketchum, what looks like he's in the middle of the Pokemon League, and it looks like he may have won the Pokemon League, and He's like, it's time for me to become a Pokemon master. And he takes out a Pokeball and he does his little throw. But oddly enough, the Pokeball does not open and it starts flinging back. It starts boomeranging back at good old Ash Ketchum. And then we look at Ash and Ash is like, what the hell? And this Pokeball becomes 20 times the size of what it normally is. And it starts sucking in Ash, just to find out that Ash is dreaming because Mr. Mime is a dick. And Mr. Mr. Mime was sitting there and sucking Ash's face with the vacuum. Doug?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you say he was being a dick. I mean, you know, when we're down at the breakfast table, Ash's mom is like, well, when Mr. Mime sees something dirty, he cleans it. So, I mean, you're throwing a little bit of shade at your son there. But, I mean, when one of the last things you said to your son before he began his journey was make sure you pack clean underwear. I mean, you know, I mean, she's staying on brand. I'll give her that much.
For real. So that actually goes into the next scene, because Mr. Mime not only did that once, but Ash gets woken up. He's looking around the room and he's not knowing what's going on because he just sees Mr. Mime vacuuming, which, I mean, I guess he might have just fallen asleep on the floor, but he had a whole pallet and everything, and his bed's right above him in the picture frame. But Mr. Mime goes right back and puts the vacuum right back on Ash's face. I think Mr. Mime...
No, clearly he missed a spot.
Yeah, he missed a spot.
It's like Mo from WALL-E, the little robot that has to clean everything.
That's a good comparison.
That's you know, and on our pre-show discussion, it's very apt. Disney finds a way to worm its way into everything.
So, all right. So we go straight from that to the cue card showdown at the Poke Corral. And then now we are downstairs at the breakfast table. It looks like good old Brock is cooking up a meal and Ash's mother is decorating with some flowers. It looks like she was probably picking some flowers in the garden. And she looks over at Ash and goes, did you sleep well? And Ash just looks like he's just all turned around. He's like, yeah, I slept okay. And then, Mel, are you currently watching this along with us?
Yes, I am.
You want to go over this next part of the scene?
Yeah. So basically, he's just talking about, like, we kind of covered that already, is that he was like, well, Mr. Mime, you know, woke me up, he needs to cool his shit, and she goes, oh, whenever he sees something dirty, he feels the need to clean it. Let's see here, because my captions aren't working, so I can't see the exact dialogue. This is my night tonight, folks. So, yeah, Pikachu's eating, and she tells Mr. Mime to go off and do some more cleaning elsewhere. Let me see.
And I'm not sure where you're watching, Mel, but a perfect way. Are you on Pokemon.com?
I can be in a second.
There you go. Go on Pokemon.com, and they have a TV section, and you'll be able to actually watch this episode on there with the captions and everything.
Oh, my God.
It'll help you. So, Doug, you want to go over this next part?
So, yeah, Misty throws in her perfect line about, you know, maybe because Mr. Mime was so helpful with the vacuum earlier, maybe Ash can go another week without taking a bath because, you know, boys are smelly. I personally take issue with Togepi and Pikachu just being on the table.
Oh, come on.
Oh, no, because Misty should be holding Togepi and Pikachu, by all accounts, should be sitting in that chair.
Well, when is Misty ever holding Togepi when she's eating?
She has hand-fed Togepi several times.
Yes, but we've also seen Togepi almost fall off a cliff in the Pokemon movie.
This is also true.
And they were all eating breakfast. Which, by the way, happened right after this episode.
I mean, I don't want to jump ahead, but I did kind of clock that as well. But so, you know, Ash gets frustrated and he tells Mr. Mime to wipe the smug look off of Misty's face, and Mr. Mime just kind of gives him the deer in the headlights look, and Ms. Ketchum just says, "Oh, sorry, Ash, Mime only listens to me," and
you know, and that's what Mr. Mime is still a wild Pokemon, Doug.
He was never caught.
No, never. Just, he's just there to help Mrs. Ketchum, and God only knows what happens when Ash is not there.
He's got Stockholm Syndrome.
So we go straight from your scene, Doug, to Jesse, James, and Meow. Good old Team Rocket. And they're like, we're just victims of CFS, Chronic Failure Syndrome. And from there, they look over and they see a headquarters. And he's like, what's the worst that he can do to us? It looks like they're back at Team Rocket home base. And they all agree that we can quit, but they don't, of course.
Well, they go to quit, and if the building hadn't blown up that exact second, they would have quit.
I know.
This is actually, oddly enough, one of my favorite parts, and it's so minor and so quick.
Oh, okay. Go over this.
So the reason this is one of my favorite parts is because it actually, because I know I said in the previous time,
what happened?
It started playing with the music, so I quickly turned it off. Oh. So
you know, you're good. So, we can't hear it.
Sure, but it was very loud in my ear. So basically, the reason I love this part so much is because when they show up to quit, there's a giant explosion. And out, and they're like, what the fuck? And this fucking figure just comes shooting out of the building, and it's goddamn Mewtwo.
Yes!
And I flipped a shit, because Mewtwo was actually the first Pokemon I fell in love with when I was, like, 8 years old.
Really? That was your favorite Pokemon growing up?
Because, strangely enough, I didn't have cable as a kid, so I didn't really get to watch Pokemon, but they had the fucking Mewtwo Strikes Back, like, trailer fucking everywhere.
Yes.
So it was just, I don't know, I saw parts of the movie and I just saw him and I was like, I fucking love him. So he shows up and they're like, well, the boss, what's going on with the boss? And you see him, their boss, you know, in the rubble with Persian and being like, oh god, now Team Rocket's fucking showed up, what the hell, guys? And they basically are like, well, we were just here and wanted to check in. And he's just like, okay, fuck off. And goes into his, like, I can't tell if that's a helicopter or a plane. And yes. Off he goes with Persian. And they're just kind of like, oh, it's a helicopter. Oh, it's like a hovercraft.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the Avengers.
So what I love about this scene is they're playing off of the Pokemon movie. Yes. And in the Pokemon movie, at the beginning of the movie, Mewtwo goes apeshit on Giovanni because, yeah, because Giovanni is sitting there telling Mewtwo, I'm your trainer. You're a Pokemon. I'm a human and we are not equal. And Mewtwo just looks right over at Giovanni and goes, fuck you. And just blows everything to shit and just flies out. So that's the background as to Mewtwo flying out. So he's flying off to his island, which is basically what's about to happen after this episode. So Showdown at the Poke Corral is kind of the preamble to the whole Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back movie. So, and if you haven't heard that podcast, go back and listen, everybody, because it's a great almost 3-hour podcast of us reviewing that whole movie. So, but yeah, that, as you were saying, Giovanni ends up flying away in his aircraft. He gives Team Rocket an assignment to go and finish doing what they're doing and to not disturb him anymore. And Team Rocket has this great, like, cheering moment that they weren't fired, and they put their arms in the air, and then the freaking building blows up even more behind them. Doug, you want to get this next part with Professor Oak?
So then we see the trio entering Professor Oak's laboratory, and bust in the door like Kramer, and
just like you do in the Pokemon game, you can just walk into anybody's house.
You just walk in, and the door is just wide open, no locks or nothing.
You can do that in Skyrim too, and actually steal things.
Yes.
Yeah, right. And
did you say Skyrim?
Yes, I did.
Do you play Skyrim?
Oh boy.
Jared and I do, yes.
Do you play it on the PlayStation?
Yes.
Oh, I'm getting your handle as soon as we're done with this. I need help.
Run, Mel. Run.
I need fucking help. I'm a level 17 freaking. Oh, I need your help. So, yes, okay. I'll be getting your handle after we're done. my ears just perked right up. All right. All right, Doug, continue.
Yeah, continue with whatever the fuck you were talking about.
This is what happens when we have friends on the podcast. It's a fun show. Fun show. All right.
So Professor Oak is basically standing at the door, and he's, you know, he's greeting everybody, and he's immediately focused on Togepi, because I believe that might be the first time he's seen Togepi, and or at least in person anyway. He might have been like on a video call or something. And Ash and Pikachu do the anime feint, and Ash is like, well, gee, I'll just be down here being chopped liver or something. And they walk into the living room area, and we see everybody's favorite trainer, Gary, is sitting there with a cup of tea and a dopey look on his face.
Oh, come on. Gary is one of my, like, until the later in the series, Gary's one of my favorite characters. Like, he shows...
Gary's a twat.
I love me some Gary, because Gary keeps Ash on his toes. Like, I love it. So, yeah, they walk into the room, and the first thing Gary has to do is just shut Ash down, and we're going to get this the whole episode, which is why I love this episode so much. But first thing he sees is Ash, and he's like, well, I'm not surprised you showed up late. Actually, I'm surprised you showed up at all.
Which, fair point. I mean, he was late and barely dressed on his... first official day as a trainer, basically. Yes. So, fair point.
And Ash just takes so much offense to it. It's funny because they end up being friends later on. But yeah. In this episode, so Ash like, hey! And Professor was like, he's like, calm down, you two. He's like, why can't Pallet's two top Pokemon trainers get along? And I'm going to kind of paraphrase this next part, because I kind of, my ears kind of perked up, because I have completely forgot about this, because the story is Ash and Gary, and in the Pokemon series, you don't really ever really acknowledge the two other trainers that came in with these two, but Professor Oak alludes to them, and he's like, yeah, Gary has 10 badges. You have 8 badges. You guys were the most dominant in the town of Pallet. And the other two trainers that were here, they didn't pair up too much.
He said they started out hot, and they just kind of flopped. I don't know if he said they lost interest or just kind of got, you know.
And freaking Gary just like, he's like, yeah, they just gave up.
Now, I have a question, and I'm not trying to get too deep in the weeds, because we've still got a good chunk of this episode to cover. Do they ever acknowledge where Gary's other two badges came from?
No, but when we did see those earlier in the episodes, he doesn't have the same badge. I mean, he has some, but he doesn't have the same badges that Ash has.
That's right. We did have that discussion. Yeah.
He has basically 10 other badges from different towns. I think the only one that they shared was Sabrina's, because I believe he had the psychic heart shaped badge in there. But the rest of those badges, Oh, and he didn't get Giovanni, because Giovanni would have been the 11th badge.
Right.
So yeah, he has basically 9 other badges that Ash does not have. So yeah, badges you can't get in the game.
One of them was shopping on Amazon, and one of them was shopping on Wish, and they basically ended up in the same boat.
Ash was shopping on Wish, and Gary was shopping on Amazon.
I would flip that, because you get Ash's badges in the games. You don't get Gary's badges.
Because Gary's better. So after that moment, we get the next funny moment, which is a running gag in the Pokemon series. Good old Krabby comes over, and it looks like he has green tea for everyone in the room. And Ash is like, "Oh, long time no see, Krabby." And Gary,
I almost threw my phone, because I was like, "Yeah, but how many free spots do you have? What did you have?" Like, I was so mad. Like,
you are so mad that he has 5 Pokemon and he has that one spot open on his belt and he doesn't use his damn Krabby. Doug gets this so mad at that. And freaking Gary's looking over at the Krabby. He's like, "Oh, so that's his, huh?"
He had this look like, "Oh, I almost didn't see it down there."
As a small person, I understand. I'm often overlooked.
So Ash is sitting there. He's like, let's see. Oh, so they start talking, and he's like, "Well, yeah, that's my Krabby." And he's like, "Well, look at mine." And then they look over at the Krabby, and Gary's is like 10 times the size of his little measly Krabby. And he's like, "That's gigantic."
And that's where all the steroids in baseball went. They went into Gary's Krabby.
They took it out. They took it out of baseball and put it into Gary's Krabby.
Yeah.
Mel, do you want to go over this next part?
Yeah, so kind of to back up a little bit, because then this is when they start talking about the Indigo Plateau Pokemon League that meets, like, I think they said once a year.
Yes.
And Gary was being all like, "Oh, do you even know when it is?" And Ash is like, "Actually, no, I don't. That's why we're actually here." And they're like, "Oh, it's exactly 2 months from today." And so they said there'll be more than 200 trainers competing, and Ash is like, "Yeah, I'm going to beat every single one of them, right, Pikachu?" And I was like, "Yeah." I think when I watched this, I was like, "Yeah, with just a Pikachu."
I was about to say, the rest of your Pokemon needs some training, and you can't even control your damn Charizard.
Right, exactly. And so that's when Gary's like, I could beat you with both hands tied behind my back. And, they start going at it, and Ash is being all like, "Yeah, no, you won't." And Gary's just like, "You're not a bad trainer. You're just not better than me." And then it goes back to Ash's house, where there's a Jesse and James dressed up as news reporters being like, "We'd love to interview your son," to his mom. And
hold on. We missed one prominent one prominent part where Gary's over here shaming Ash about how many Pokemon he has.
Well, yeah, but that comes back later.
Oh, okay. My bad. You are 100% right. I'm so sorry.
they drop the line, but when they leave the scene, they're headed to the Pokeball storage area to actually take a look.
Yes.
But they do drop the line here.
Right.
So, my bad. All right, you can continue. Team Rocket.
So Team Rocket shows up, and she's like, "Oh, well, my son's not home." And then Mr. Mime comes out in a cleaning frenzy and just starts sweeping them away. And Mom is like, "Oh, they went to Professor Oak's laboratory," and Mime is still sweeping them the hell away.
Just Ms.
Ketchum has a big mouth.
Yep.
So, all right, Doug, you want to go to this next part?
So this is where we, pardon me, this is where we get the Krabby comparisons. And I would argue that Gary's Krabby doesn't even look healthy, but that's just me. And then Gary has another good point about rotating his Pokemon. So they all get experience, and I'm sitting there going, yeah, what of your Krabby, and what of your Muck, and what of your 17 Toros, and... So I don't like Gary, but he's got good points. So they're going back and forth, and Brock leans over to Professor Oak and says, you better, stop this, because some shit's about to go down, and Professor Oak's just munching on some food, and he goes, well, I'm a professor, not a referee.
I died when I heard that line. He's like, just let them bicker.
Also, if he doesn't take the side of his grandson, that's kind of shitty.
That is kind of shitty, but I think even he realizes his grandson's kind of a jerk.
Well, so is Professor Oak to Ash. I mean, Ash doesn't capture that many Pokemon, and
He showed up late in his pajamas on his first day. Like, that's not going to make the best first impression.
No, it never does. Always show on time early to your first day on the job.
Then try to be wearing pants, for goodness sakes.
So, and it's at this point where Gary starts kind of making sense. He's like, I revolve all my Pokemon because depending on the gym leader that I go to, you have to know what you're going up against. And Professor Oak is like, oh, that's pretty smart. That's my grandson.
That pissed me off. At this point, we're deep enough that everybody understands type advantage.
But that's where the funniness comes in, because it's at this point at Gary looks over at Ash and he's like, what would you use against what kind of Pokemon would you use against my Geodude? That's what Brock says. And Gary's like, he's like, I'd use a water type against a rock type, and then I'd have a grass type as my backup. And he's like, what would you use, Ash? And freaking Misty has no chill. And she's like, he'd use his Pikachu.
Yeah, Misty pissed me off here, because Ash, he's not bright, but he at least has enough common sense to say, oh, I'd use my Squirtle.
but he didn't, though. He was fighting Brock with his
damn Pikachu. He didn't have him.
Well, whose fault is that? He could have caught a Bellsprout. It's actually funny. Me and Little Man, we're playing Pokemon Fire Red all over again, and we're playing it from scratch. And I'm showing Jordan how to train his Pokemon, and he's getting so irritated because he has to train his Pokemon in order to win these battles in the game. And I have to tell him, I was like, well, you got to capture specific Pokemon. You got to train them. And then when you fight these gym leaders, you'll be able to, because we're playing online. We're playing, I don't know if you've heard of this, Mel, but it's called Poke MMO. So it's basically you can play Pokemon like red version, blue version, like online with a bunch of people. You can see them walking online, but the basis of the game is the same. The only difference is you can interact with other people in the game and trade Pokemon with people around the world.
Okay, that's really cool.
Yes. So... So we're playing that, and it's just this hit me pretty hard because Little Man went up against Brock and he was getting his ass handed to him, like just left and right. He's like, I don't know how to beat him. And I look at his party. Who's in his party? He has Charmander. He has Pikachu. He has a level 6 Caterpie. I was like, all right, well, you need to level up your damn Caterpie. And he has a Weedle. And who else did he have in his party? He had a Pidgey and he had a Rattata. And I could never say that Pokemon's name right. And people are probably like, yeah, Rattata. There you go.
I just used to say Rattata and just move on.
I've always said Rattata. I don't know how it's actually said.
So those were his party, but he's going up against Brock. And in Poke MMO, they kind of beefed up the gym leaders. Like, they actually make them a little bit harder. And even though you have, if you have like a grass type or a water type, freaking Onyx in Pokemon Fire Red, he knows some fucking big ass moves and he'll kill you if you don't have the right strategy. I went in there with sleep powder and put all his Pokemon to sleep and killed him. So, all right, back to the episode. But Gary calls Ash a loser. He's like, you know, you're not supposed to use an electric type against a rock type. What a loser. And Ash's like, I'm not a loser. I earned 8 badges. He's like, but how many Pokemon did you capture, Ash? And
this is where Misty pissed me off again, because she's like, it doesn't matter, Ash. Don't tell him how many Pokemon you have. It's none of his business. I was like, whose side of this are you on? You're just sitting there.
You're supposed to be my friend.
She's basically sitting there doing the Kermit meme going, oh, that's none of my business, but I'm just going to sit here and stir the pot all day.
I feel like Misty always pisses you.
Yes. Yes.
I know that's not the first time I've heard you say that. Misty, I think you say it once an episode.
Misty makes Doug mad more. And there's a new character. Her name is Iris in the black and white version. And she makes Doug even more mad. It's like Misty on steroids, because every single episode she has to call Ash a kid. She's like, oh, you don't know this? What a kid. And that's her catchphrase in the episode, and Doug hates it.
Yeah, well, okay, first of all, I want to nip this narrative in the bud right now. I just don't prefer their character. Well, I don't mind Misty, but she just has moments where she needles. I could take or leave Iris at this point. What a kid shit is ridiculous, because they're the same fucking age.
I think we said that Iris is what? She's what, 12?
11? She might be 11 or 12. But
I was
going to
say, I think she's older than Ash by a year or so. But
that's not saying anything.
That'd be like me getting on this show every week calling you a kid.
I know. Oh, you don't know that, Chris? What a kid. Hey, now. But in this scene, while they're bickering back and forth, Professor Oak was actually analyzing both Ash and Gary's Pokédex.
How did he get them?
I don't know. He went in their pockets and snagged them and put them in.
He rolled a nat 20 stealth.
Yeah.
There you go, Mel Branding.
Freaking Gary's big old crabby just walked over and just went, pluck.
Can you imagine if he went too far, though?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Dear. Oh, boy. Talk about hurting the Ekans. or the executor, or the execute.
Oh, that great.
That was so good. That was really good.
So, Professor Oak has a really good line in this episode. He's like, the results show that Gary has only seen 60 different types of Pokemon, but Ash has seen over 100. But it seems like the 60 Pokemon that Gary has seen, he most likely has inside of Gary's laboratory. And because Ash is like, he's like, oh, I've seen more Pokemon, victory. And Professor Oak has to just chop him down just a level. And he's like, but Gary's captured many more Pokemon than you, Ash.
And then, you know, Gary has pretty much the knockout punch right before we go to commercial. And he says, because you pull out your Pokedex every time you see a Pokemon, I catch and ask questions later. And then, bam, you know.
Which, I love that line, because that's what Ash should do. Honestly.
Yeah. I mean, what is it? Yeah, honestly, what does it matter what the Pokemon is? It's a wild Pokemon. You know that much. That's all you need to know right now.
You're losing seconds, and that's how half of these Pokemon run back into the damn grass before Ash is able to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Ash catch them, or like Ash lose them.
For real. So it's from here that Gary says that we need to go back to the laboratory to see all of our Pokemon. And Mel, do you want to go over this next part?
Yeah, so Professor Oak is like, yeah, let's go poke around my laboratory. And we go to the Who's That Pokemon? And so I scream, it's Pikachu, like that one vine. And our Pokemon is the, I like to think of as the masochistic Slowbro.
Yes.
And the reason I say that is because Slowbro will spend his time just keeping his tail in the water. Something to come up and just chomp him on the ass, and he's just like, almost there!
It's funny because we're getting that's actually next week's episode is the basically the evolution of Slowbro. It's hilarious.
So yeah, chomping, getting close to the asshole, so Slowbro. So then once we get past that, we get to the lab where he's like, oh my god. Ash is like, wow, there's thousands of Pokemon here. And he goes, yeah, these are the ones I received from Gary. And there's like a shit ton of them. And he goes, and these are the ones I received from Ash. And they're like, oh, that's a lot of Pokeballs. And he goes, yeah, but they're pretty much all Tauros from the Safari district.
<It's>
which
funny.
Made me laugh.
It's funny because he has two red Pokeballs.
It's Muk and Krabby.
Yes, those are the only two. And then all the rest of them are fucking Tauros.
I mean, to be fair, it's 20 of them because it's four rows of five.
There's not all of them are filled. Oh, you are right. Yeah, it is 20. At least 20.
So, I mean, you know, quantity here. Let's, you know.
That's so, like, just.
That's
at
a
least,
lot of
I'd say 20. I'd say at least, like, 25, 26 Tauros. That's still a lot of Tauros.
Let's point out the fact that Ash doesn't have so many Pokemon that he has a picture of his face above his Pokemon, and it's just a couple of Pokemon. It's actually, I can count it right here. One, two. He has 25 Tauros, and he has two regular Pokemon that he's captured, which is Muk and Krabby, and then freaking Professor.
And he only carries five with him. He only carries five. He can carry Krabby. He can carry Muk. He can carry a Tauros. He can rotate a Tauros. He can have a pen full of really strong Tauros. He can just rotate. No, I'm going to stick with my five. And one of them, one that I keep around, doesn't listen to me and is going to bite me in the ass later.
Doug's like, you don't play Pokemon the right way. So, Professor Oak, this is just chopping Ash down quite a bit the whole episode, because Professor Oak has to chop Ash again and just go, on the other hand, Gary has captured more than 200 Pokemon. And Gary's like, yeah, that's not bad, is it? And Ash's like, 200? But there's only around 150 kinds of Pokemon, Misty goes.
Yeah, but then Misty has to hit the fucking nail right on the head. Well, there's only 150 known, so you must have duplicate. No shit.
No shit.
Okay, and I get that this is an early cartoon, but I kind of, looking back at this now, I don't like the whole 150 different kinds of Pokemon, because Misty is holding a Togepi, okay? So that's in itself right now. But right now, as it stands in this episode, nobody knows about Mewtwo. Mm-mm. Nobody.
True.
And even after Mewtwo Strikes Back, the movie, everybody's minds get wiped. Who's the 150th Pokemon that we're not talking about? Unless they're talking about Mew. They know about Mew.
Or unless more people than Ash know about the Pokemon that he saw.
That is true.
Ho-Oh, yeah.
Yes. So yeah, I mean that's true too. But I'm starting to think that they know about Mew, because since Mewtwo would be Mewtwo is 150 in the Pokemon game, but Mew is 151. But if people have talked about Mew, everybody knows who the legendary birds are. So yeah, I'm guessing it's Mew, Doug. Because the Dexter, remember, Dexter didn't know about Ho-Oh.
Oh, that's right. And he even had some line about there are more Pokemon out there that are currently accounted for or something. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, Doug, you want to go over this next part?
Let's see. So we're kind of getting over the pissing contest. And Gary straight up says, you're not as good of a trainer as I am. And what does Oak say? Because Oak has a good line.
Right before that, they were going back and forth, and Ash was talking about how he's friends with his Pokemon, but Gary is like, he's like, yeah, well, even though I have 200 Pokemon, I have multiples of certain Pokemon because you can never have too many Pokemon.
Yeah, well, and so he has multiple. So like, how many Pidgey and how many low level Pokemon does he have that he's just not bragging about? I mean, at least Ash's multiples are Tauros that you can only get at the Safari Zone.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
But then, you know, Oak says, oh, you both have valid ways of training Pokemon, and, you know, you've captured different Pokemon, and you have different personalities, and you've learned to become trainers in different ways. But... and, you know, whether or not you consider your Pokemon to be friends, they still need to be cared for. And he kneels down and he pets Pikachu on the head.
So
if that was Ash, he would have gotten shocked. And it's this real nice speech from Professor Oak. And he says, you know, that's, you know, part of the reason that I'm a researcher is because I like discovering these things, and I enjoy taking care of Pokemon, and he's kind of living his best life. So, and then we get thrown right back in the middle of Team Rocket.
Oh, yay. So it's at this point, Team Rocket is walking, and they're sitting there moaning and groaning about taking the back way. So they're on their way over to Professor Oak's laboratory so they can steal a bunch of the Pokemon that's inside the laboratory. And they're like, oh, this route is so draining. And oh my goodness, I can't believe we're back here. And it looks like James accidentally kicks a rock that hits a tree, and when it hits the tree, a bunch of Kakuna drop down, and they're all like, if there's a bunch of Kakuna over here, that must be Beedrills live here. And then a bunch of Beedrills come out, and they just start chasing Jesse and James. They're running, and then they're like, how come we didn't know that all of these were in the Pokemon garden? And Meowth is like, I don't know. Why didn't we? He's like, quit fighting and keep running. And then they run over and they run into a Snorlax. And James has a funny line. He's like, someone get the license plate number. I about died.
That was a good line.
And then they look up and they're like, Snorlax. And then all these Beedrills start flying down towards them. And we never find out what happened with the Beedrill and Team Rocket at this point.
Yeah, I mean, and I feel like they missed a trick. I feel like the next time we saw them, they should have been covered in stings, but that's just me.
I feel like Beedrill can kill a human.
It's got fucking drills for hands.
Well, yeah, and it wasn't just one or two. It was a swarm, so you might not be wrong.
I would have laughed if they were able to, if they all, like, miscalculated and tried to hit them, but hit Snorlax, and they all just bounced off, and then they got
right.
So, Mel, do you Do you want to go over the next scene where Professor Oak is talking about his busy day on a daily basis?
I'm happy you asked, because this is literally like a dream job for me. So he starts his day by checking on all the Pokemon to make sure everyone's healthy and accounted for. And then he goes and he lets out all the Pokemon out of their Pokeballs so they can get some exercise and fresh air. And he has little special habitats for each type of Pokemon. So he's got like a nice little like water area for the water Pokemon, trees for the Mankeys. And then he talks about feeding them, all the Pokemon get their breakfasts. And by the time he's done feeding the breakfast to all the Pokemon, he has to go ahead and start feeding them all lunch. And then in the afternoons, he starts his research, and he's been studying different like variations of the same Pokemon types to see the differences and similarities between each Pokemon. And then he feeds them dinner, and then they go back into the Pokeballs for the night to go to sleep. And that is what he does for the day.
That is
And I
tiring.
Love that, because that's literally like a dream job of mine, since I'm such an animal lover. I'd be okay doing that all day.
And then after that, a freaking Doduo comes running up as they're outside. And what does Ash do, Doug? What does Ash do?
As if to prove Gary's point without Gary even having to say a damn thing. Because Gary pets the Doduo on his head and says, "Hey, how's it going?" And Ash goes, "Is that yours?" And he pulls out his Pokédex, and we find out that Doduo can run faster than it can fly.
And which is bullshit, because in the Pokémon game, you can't fly on a Doduo or a Dugtrio. They can't learn fly.
Well, I would hope he can't fly in a Dugtrio. They go underground.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sorry. What's up?
Isn't it called Doduo?
Doduo. There you go. My bad. And yeah, you can't fly on those some bitches. And I just recently got reminded of this in Pokemon Fire Red, because I was trying to fly and I had to use my damn Pidgeotto and put my Pidgeotto back in my party. And I was like, oh, okay. So now I can fly.
I also like the Nidorina cuddling.
Oh, that's cute. One of my Pokemon in Pokemon Fire Red, which is a freaking monster, is my Nidorino. I can't wait for him to evolve into a Nidoking. Man, he's a beast. But we go back and we have everybody sitting there oohing and aahing over all the Pokemon inside of the garden. Like you said, Mel, you see the Nidorina and Nidorino freaking cuddling together. Or Nidoran, my bad.
Nidoran, yeah.
And you see the Paris and Parasect. You see Onyx in the far distance. You see some Rhydon. And everyone's just having a good old time. And Professor Oak is talking to him, and he's educating both Ash and Gary that Pokemon basically take in the traits of their trainer, and that you have a special relationship with your Pokemon. And Brock gets all sorts of smitten, and he's like, "Oh, if that's true, then that means I might have a girlfriend, because when I got this Vulpix, I got who was the girl that he got that Vulpix from, Doug?
I believe her name is Susie.
Okay.
I think it was something like that.
And he's like, "When I got this Vulpix, she gave this Vulpix to me, and she cared for this Vulpix, so she might be my girlfriend." And everyone's looking at him, and Gary's like, "What's up with this guy?" And Missy's like, "Oh, he's over in fantasy world."
And that made me happy, because Vulpix is my second favorite Pokemon, because I identify personally. I too set people on fire when I'm mad.
Of course you do. All right. And then it's at this point that we get another running gag that Ash's muck just happens to be running around on the outside, and he sees Professor Oak because he's so attached to Professor Oak because Ash doesn't use him. And
would you say that muck is running amok?
So he runs over to Professor Oak, and Professor Oak gets all bug-eyed, and he's like, "Oh no!" And Mug is like, "Muck, muck, 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 muck,
ah!" And then eats him.
Yeah,
just jumps right on top of freaking Professor Oak, and Professor Oak, he's like, "Oh, you're mucking up my favorite lab coat." And then Muck doesn't give no fucks and just oh, I had that in my back pocket.
I know.
And Professor Oak's like, "See, I told you Pokemon get attached to you, didn't I?" And then Muck just then covers his face.
He has become one with the muck.
So, Doug, you want to go over this next part, Team Rocket?
So then, after Professor Oak is consumed, then we see Team Rocket is climbing up, well, I should say struggling up some rocks, and, you know, Jesse's like, "Oh, we have to do this the hard way," and Meow says, "Apparently the hard way's our speciality," and they're climbing. And Jesse puts her hand on a Geodude, and
Geodude got all smitten.
Yeah, Geodude got all embarrassed. He's like, "Oh shucks, a pretty girl's touching my hand." Jesse goes, "Yeah." And poor Geodude gets yeeted, and And she's like, "Well, this is ridiculous." And she puts her hand down again, and she comes up with a Sand Slash, and Sand Slash him too. And Sandshrew cuts up her, essentially cuts up her face, and then gives her a drop kick as he bounds away. And Jesse's first reaction is, "Oh, my makeup is ruined." I said, "Your makeup is ruined. You've been slashed like 15 times.
You've lost your eye." You're
And then we have the grandmaster of them all, freaking Onyx, was right behind him, just all curled up in a big-ass circle, and then just starts chasing them.
And then, you know, so they're booking it, and then we go, pardon me, and then we're back at the sanctuary, and Misty's going gaga for the water-type Pokemon, and we get one more opportunity to kick Ash in the ding-ding, because Ash says, "Well, you must have every type of Pokemon here." And Professor Oak says, "No, not really. Just..."
And this is where we learn that, as we were saying earlier in the episode, that there's 150 type of Pokemon, known Pokemon. But it seems like there are more in other areas, which, I mean, I guess, I mean, they should have placed in this Pokemon episode and just said there's more than 150, because I believe at around this point they're getting ready for Gold and Silver, which features Ho-Oh, and I'm sure Professor Oak at some point has talked to other professors who have seen other Pokemon. I don't know. I just kind of threw my arms up in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, I think the next episode, you talk about talking to other professors, we find somebody who apparently is considered to be the Mac Daddy.
Apparently anybody can be a professor in Pokemon. But yes, Ash is like there must be, because even Dexter didn't know one of the Pokemon when I first started my journey. And then we get the flashback to Ho-Oh going across the rainbow, and Professor Oak's like, "Yeah, it's still a great mystery. Nobody knows how many types of Pokemon there are in this world. And finding new and different Pokemon is a never-ending quest." And it's at this point that Ash is going back and forth saying that they're going to try to find all the Pokemon that they can, and that they're going to train them to be as strong as they can be. And Gary and Ash have a moment where they're just staring at each other. And Brock is like, yeah, they really love Pokemon. And and
Pokemon.
So Gary gets the big balls on him, and he's like, come on, Ash. What do you say we have a Pokemon battle? And you know, Ash can't say no to a Pokemon battle, because they both can use the practice before the Pokemon League, and Pikachu gets all muscle armed, and he's like, Pika! Like, I like that pose that Pikachu did, because Pikachu's just all sorts of confident. And then we get an explosion in the distance. Mel?
Okay. So we get an explosion in the distance, and we see a bunch of Voltorbs and Electrodes just chanting and just sizzling and everything, and we see Jesse and James popping out, and James sings a semi-copyrighted song, and
yes, big cover here for that.
Yep, and they pop out, and because everybody, the gang ran over, they're like, "What's going on?" And you know, all three of them hop out of the hole, and they're like, "We followed you so we could grab that Pikachu," and then. Meowth said something that made Jared kind of blush a little. He's like, we're done pussyfooting around.
Yeah, I kind of took note of that. I was like...
I mean, the initial like definition of pussyfooting is being like light-footed.
Being
like
on tiptoe, yeah.
Basically. Yeah, but hearing it now, I'm like, yikes.
Yeah, no, because we're all corrupted is the problem.
Right. So
I blame TikTok.
I do too. So,
I don't know why, I just blame TikTok.
So Meowth is like, hand over that rat, and now Gary and Professor Oak are like, holy shit, it's a talking cow. Can you talk just a little bit more, please? And then, you know, Meowth is like, I can do you one better, and they, you know, go into the, we'll skip this part, because they just go into the whole Jesse James whatever shit that they do all the time. And Team Rocket blasts off the speed of light, yada, yada, yada. Surrender now. Prepare to fight for that Pikachu. Blah, 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 blah. Meowth, that's right. Great, cool. So we go to, looks like we're getting a standoff, or we're getting ready for a fight. And, you know, Gary and Ash are both like, we're going to fucking battle and shit like that. And everybody, they go to start battling. And then... I think somebody else should take this part just for the fun of it, because I'm curious what everybody else will have to say.
So I have a funny line for this. So
okay,
it's at this point that Ash's Tauros see red. They see they see Jesse's hair, and anyone that knows bulls can't stand the color red, and they go and they just clock Team Rocket, and Team Rocket goes flying away. Was that what you were alluding to, Mel?
Yes, I was.
And it's at this point that they broke Professor Oak's fence, which Professor Oak takes offense to. Oh, you guys catch every single one. So... Professor Oak is kind of happy that Team Rocket's gone, but Gary's like, yeah, but we didn't really get to do anything. And Professor Oak's like, that's not true. He's like, you're the one responsible for saving my research center with all of your Tauros. And then it's at this point that all the Tauros look like they're starting to circle their way around, because bulls like to run in circles. And Ash says hi to all of his Tauros, and Gary's like, I'm going to head home now. It's been a long day, which kind of catches Ash off guard, and because he's like, he's thinking in his head, oh, we're not going to battle anymore. And they kind of agree to go on and battle at a later time, right before the Pokemon League. And it's at this point that Professor Oak starts and hands Ash some tools some wood to help fix this fence that his Tauros have broken. Doug, do you want to take the ending to this episode?
And then he also hands Brock and Misty some pieces to help, and Misty's a little confused, and she says, and Oak says, believe me, helping others, sharing their burdens, that's the way to become a better trainer, a better friend, a better person. And they're all kind of like, oh, and Pikachu's misty-eyed, and Togepi's just being oblivious on a fence post. And then, you know, we get the narrator, and we see Ash has turned his head around backwards, so you know it's serious. And he's doing a shit job. I'll just say that for what it's worth.
That should have been one big hammer, like, throwdown for that damn fence, or per nail. It should just be click. But he's going to town. I can just imagine that nail is all sorts of bent up, and Professor Oak
that
is
nail's
like,
bent. That wood, that plank's probably a little cracked. I mean, you're looking at two nails, you know, one on each side. You're looking at maybe three or four slots of wood. I mean, you're talking maybe 10 minutes.
Yes, real easy. But Ash is doing a shit job. But yeah, that's how we end this week's episode. So, Doug, I know what I'm going to give it, but what would you give this episode this week on your Doug-o-meter?
This episode's a 2, and I'm being generous.
Oh, okay. Well, why?
I mean, I like it. I like it. I just, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. I mean, all it did was serve to set some markers, because we were hit over the head with an Ash Ketchum-style hammer that the Pokemon League was starting in 2 months. So basically, in showtime, you're getting 2 months of nothing. I think real time, like in terms of episodes, I think you made mention that the next couple weeks are going to be kind of like this. And having watched next week's episode as well, I can attest to it being more filler, even more filler than this, I would dare say. So, yeah, I mean,
I'm going to burst your bubble. We have 9 more episodes until we get to the Pokemon League.
Oh, boy. I'm going to start using some of my sick days.
Oh, I'm sorry, everybody. I got a bunch of phlegm. Not good for podcasting.
Yeah, speaking of sick days, yeah.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, this is a 2, and I'm being generous.
All right, Mel, I'm kind of curious. What would you give this out of 5 stars?
Okay, so the way I did this was that I started with 5 stars, and I went down to see what, like, I took stars away based on certain things. So I took away a star because of there was no battle, not technically.
Okay.
But I'm going to keep it at like a 3.5, because there are a few reasons for this. One big reason was I got to see Mewtwo, and that kind of set my mood for the rest of the fucking show or the episode. But also it starts to bring everything. That one moment actually brings, like, kind of connects a lot of stuff, especially with Mew and Mewtwo. So yes. I feel that's very important to show. I think having a conversation with Giovanni was very important, because we don't really see Giovanni that much. So having him be, like, in person and, you know, being kind of a part of this, and we kind of learn a little bit more about Giovanni through that moment, I thought that was really important. I kind of going off of what Doug said, we are learning the league is in 2 months. All these trainers are coming. So that was a thing. And then for I feel like this episode had a lot of important conversations that were needed. So that's why I'm keeping it at about a 3.5.
Okay. And
and I like seeing all the Pokemon. Like, that was really nice, is just seeing them all in, like, a happy area, you know, living their best life and doing things that they do.
And, you know, and I'm going to be one, I'm going to be almost one with you. I'm going to put it down a half. I'm going to go with a 3-star for this episode. The only reason is, one, I like Gary. Like, Gary, I love.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You have this big, like, don't want to say confrontation because it's not a confrontation, but you have this big one-on-one with Gary, and that's not a thing. Like, that's a whole fucking episode with Gary.
Yes. So I feel like this is the first full-blown episode between Ash and Gary.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have Gary. I did like the fact that we got to learn about the Pokemon that's all around the area. The dialogue was great. All the different types of Pokemon that we got to see in this one episode. We got to see Giovanni. We got to see a scared Team Rocket. And they didn't overwhelm this episode with Jesse and James.
No, that was nice.
I mean, we're watching Black and White, and they're not overwhelming us with Team Rocket anymore, but I kind of feel like in these early episodes, Team Rocket becomes a little much. And I think that finally learned that going forward in newer episodes. But it was just the right amount of Team Rocket. Like, Team Rocket got their comeuppance. In the process of seeing Team Rocket, they got to see other Pokemon. So I'm going to keep it at a 3. We got the nice interaction between Ash and Gary. We learned a lot about different types of Pokemon. We actually learned how many Pokemon Gary has compared to Ash and the different types of training methods that they use. So I liked it. I'm going to give this one a good old 3-star this week.
Nice.
So, and I normally don't do this, but today's a double recording day. So after we're done with Yumo, we got one more episode that me and Doug are going to record. So I have 2 packs of Pokemon cards in my hand. I have in my left hand, I have a Pokemon cards, Sword and Shield Evolving Skies booster packet with Sylveon on it. And I have Umbreon on the right hand, same Sword and Shield Evolving Skies. Am I going to open the right pack or the left pack, Mel?
Left pack.
Left pack. All right. We're going Sylveon this week, everybody. All right. So let's go ahead and get this. And if you guys want to see the cards that I have pulled, go ahead and follow.
Oh, it's just a condom wrapper.
So
happened once.
So I did pull a black trainer card, code card, which means that this card pack might be a dud. But Doug, what energy card am I going to look at first, putting 4 at the bottom and going back?
How come the black cards got to be dud cards, man?
Because the black cards are normally duds. So
I mean that's kind of fucked up, man. I mean, how dare you?
I can hear a brother in a car right now going, "Yeah, Doug's right."
Why? Yeah, Doug's right.
All right, so Doug, what energy card am I going to look at first?
There wasn't really.
Okay, if you're not prepared, Mel. What?
Anything psychic.
Okay. It is a leaf card. All right.
Ah, hell. There wasn't even any grass type Pokemon in the episode.
I know. So I have a leaf energy, Hippodon, a Golduck, a Herdier, a Zora, Psyduck, a Rufflet, a Drowsy, a Flabibi. I've never seen that Pokemon. My reverse holo is a Nuzleaf. And then I have a non-holo rare Appleton. So, yeah, kind of a dud.
A what?
Called Appleton.
Appleton.
Yep. Appleton. Appleton. HP is 90. It's a dragon type Pokemon.
Gotcha. That's something. You know, you got the base and the evolve form in the same pack.
Yeah.
Psyduck and Golduck.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even realize that. Yeah. I got Psyduck and Golduck in this pack.
Appleton looks like a dweeb. I would steal lunch money from him.
You should see his unevolved form. Applin. So, But yeah, like I said, everybody, go on the good old Instagram. I also post the code cards for anybody. It's a one-time code use, so first come, first serve. Whoever gets it, gets it. And that's it. That's this week's episode. So thank you again for coming on today's show, Mel.
Oh, thank you for having me again.
Oh, you're very welcome. All right. So, Doug, do you have anything else to add to this week's episode before we sign off?
I think before we get off here, I think we should plug Mel's shit again.
Oh, yes,
oh,
yes.
Yeah,
oh, well, so, where can all of our fans find you?
I know, right? You can find us on Spotify. Let me actually... You can also, if you're on the Anchor website, we go through anchor.fm, so you can also listen to us there. I think it's a little harder to listen on that particular platform because it just it stops and pause and crap. Mm-hmm. It's just all funky. So you can listen to us on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, and Podcast Addict. We're mostly well known on Spotify because that's the most well known one of them all.
Okay.
Yeah. So just listen to us here on Spotify. Again, it's called Meta Dungeon. The MD for your DM, because we're the doctors of Dungeons and Dragons. and you can catch us on Instagram at Meta Dungeon Masters. Our Facebook and Twitter are at Meta Dungeon. And our Patreon is also just Meta Dungeon. Right. So yeah, come listen to us. Just talk shit about D&D.
Absolutely. And for all of you that are out there, if you go to our description in this week's episode, all of the links for her podcast will be directly in the link. So if you're interested, go and click those links, everybody.
And I'm going to make sure he does that this time.
I did do it. So, all right. Well, go ahead and say goodbye, Doug.
Goodbye, Doug.
Say goodbye, Mel.
Hi, Mel.
And this is Wrestling Chris G telling all of you, don't be late to the party next week, because next week's episode is about Slowpoke. Have a good night, everybody.